Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Fightful's The Hump with
Jimmy Van
and
Sean Ross Sapp.
Fightful.com. Yeah, yeah.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It's April 9th, 2025, the week after AEW Dynasty, the week before WrestleMania. And we're here to for at least an hour. We got Jimmy Van here. Jimmy, how you doing?
Doing good, Sean. Your hair's looking a little bit better now than before you hit start on the camera.
I just kind of let it do whatever now. I don't go out a lot these days. I mentioned to you off the air, I'm staying home next week. I don't have to look pretty for anybody except for these loyal viewers that I've already suckered in. They're already stuck with me. Please don't unsubscribe.
But well, the cards are sucky enough for the show next weekend. I find that it's probably going to be. I think so. So I think it's probably going to be an amazing show because that always happens when you have low expectations, it blows you away.
Well, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about a lot of other things. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. It helps the world find out about Fightful. We've had a giant boost in subscribers. I've taken over some of the marketing end on that, but I want to tell you guys about some of the cool things we've got on Fightful over the next week or so and get Jimmy's thoughts on it. Jimmy, do you remember Sonny Siaki?
Of course. For sure.
So we have this new series, new-ish series. It's been out for a couple months called Fightful Presents. We took a look at the New Japan exodus to WWE. We looked at TNA going head-to-head on Monday nights with WWE. We looked at the history of Tribute to the Troops. And a couple other things, Heroes of Wrestling. And one of them that I always wanted are covered here was Sonny Siaki, who wrestled in the dying days of WCW. He wrestled in TNA and seemed like a big prospect there. And then he had a WWE developmental deal. And we now have a video on him, as a lot of people don't know why exactly he just fell off the face of the earth as far as wrestling goes. He donated his kidney to his brother, and sacrificed his wrestling career in order to save a life. You can learn more about that on our YouTube or on Fightful. I look forward to us diving into more stories like that. Mike Straw did an incredible job, but one that went under the radar last weekend, Jimmy, you and I talked about these poppy figures, these Japanese poppy figures. Tell the audience a little bit about those if they might not know about them.
Yep. So as far as I know, the oldest wrestling figure line, action figure line, was from 1981 from Japan, called Poppy, or I've seen some people call it Popey. And it was mostly Gaijin wrestlers. So it was mostly foreign wrestlers. And I've got 8 of the 10 in the set. I've got them in the package. There's been this resurgence of popularity for the line, but when it comes to the cards, because they have cards packed into the package. And Sean and I talked about how some people remove the cards and sell them separately on eBay. I still think they're worth more if you keep them in the package, but some people take them out and sell them separately. And Sean and I did a podcast about that Japanese line, and it's very unique. I mean, Hulk Hogan pre-red and yellow is part of that line, and Harley Race is NWA champion. I mean, 81 was a ways back, Sean. So it's a cool look at some old stuff.
Yeah, my God. There's a lot of stuff there. And then this weekend, we have a look at AEW, or not AEW. I could look at AEW. I've got their first 8-9 series, but we've got a look at LJN prototypes, of which you have an incredible number of, an incredible amount of. So that will be up, I think, probably Friday. We're aiming for that. Jimmy, anything that people should specifically look for there?
If you guys are into memorabilia at all, whether it be toys, whether it be anything else, the prototypes video is interesting because I've got a bunch of prototypes, some of which Vince McMahon did not green light for whatever reason. And so he made them change it. And the one that they ended up releasing was not the original design. So that's pretty cool. We even, you know, give a little shout out to Matt Cardona for his big rubber guys line. So
yeah,
check it out. I watched it this morning for the first time in that prototype video. It's good.
Yeah,
I think it's good.
And after WrestleMania, probably maybe a week or two after WrestleMania, after we cycle through the Mania content, we'll be coming back with even more of those videos for you guys to check out. We have, I think, three more episodes of those that are coming out. And Jimmy has a more broad look at his LJN collection from, like, I think 6 years ago here on the channel also. But next week, we're going to have a ton of WrestleMania coverage. We're going to do things a little bit different because I know that a lot of you realize that sometimes we will take our content, release it weekly as opposed to as soon as we get the interviews. That's because we have a partnership with NordVPN. They've given me the thumbs up to be like, no, you can quick release these. You don't got to do one a week or anything like that. But in addition to the WrestleMania interviews next week, we had a look at the new season of Dark Side of the Ring. We had a look at Squared Circle Expo, one of the biggest wrestling conventions in America. We had Luke Curtis, who has done work for New Japan, WWE, TNA, and AEW. Grapsody interviewed Speedball Mike Bailey. Then yesterday, I interviewed Steph DeLander about her book, Gail Kim's Departure, PCO, smashing that title, all kinds of cool stuff. Thursday, David Finley of New Japan, one of the top New Japan stars, talks about, I asked him, I was like, how tired are you of Hornswoggle jokes? And we got into that. And then Monday, or I think it's Sunday, we got Izzy, the 2024 Fightful Rookie of the Year. I think this girl's going to be a big star, Jimmy. I really do. I think anybody that watches that interview is going to see how poised she is.
And she's part of WWE ID now, right?
Sort of. Yeah. I don't think she's officially ID, but she's got a match with an ID talent.
I see.
Because she was very clear. She was like, go ahead, ask me where I'm going to sign as soon as I turn 18 next month. She's ready. Like, she knows what she's doing. Like, this is a girl who, at 8 years old, was getting criticized on the internet, like, yeah, just for existing.
Bailey
then
fan.
Then she did what all great pro wrestlers do. She wrestled Effie, and a lot of people criticized her for that. And she said, you know what? To hell with you guys. If you don't want me to do scripted wrestling, what I'll do is I'll go learn jiu-jitsu. And honestly, she was very good at that as well.
She learned jiu-jitsu. I didn't know that.
Learned jiu-jitsu. Yeah, I would see some of her grappling videos, and I was very impressed. Like,
really?
As someone who had trained in the past, like, I was very impressed. Then she started to do media. And I remember at Double or Nothing 2021, she's like, Sean, Denise, do you mind if I, like, shadow you guys? And we're like, hell yeah, please do. I remember looking over there and a grown man tried to, like, nudge her out of the way. I was like, you get the fuck in front of him. I was like, you play off of anything that you have. You are a child. He can't say anything to you right now.
Nice.
I was,
and then so Mark Henry apologized afterwards.
Mark Henry went, sorry. You know, it's somebody who's no longer in media, but she is killing it as a wrestler, and we had a wonderful interview. But enough of the plugs. I just feel like our plugs are actually for things that are interesting. So by God, here we are. But we've got your super chats. We've got your humper chats. You might say, what in the hell are any of those? Well, super chats are here at youtube.com/Fightful. Outside of a couple sponsors, we are largely direct-to-consumer funded by you guys. We don't make a ton, like, per click, anything like that. So we want to know what you guys want to talk about. And right out of the gate, we have Dave and Tim sending very generous super chats that I want to get to. You can also send humper chats. Tim Traver says, keep Hot Wheels one package, one open. The cars that are in the package are worth more than the open cars. I also opened one out of 24 scale cars. I understand, Jimmy Van. So this gentleman right here, who's been a very loyal supporter and friend of Fightful for years, does a program called the Diecast Collective. And I always see him posting about it. I've checked it out a number of times. Very passionate about that. Anybody who's into that type of thing or even isn't and wants to learn about it, check out Tim Traver over here. But yeah, I mean, they would always say on MTV, the rappers would come on TV, one for the car, one for the crib, one to keep in plastic, about the CD. Were you ever like that where you're like, I want loose LJNs and package LJNs?
I have a few. The problem is I didn't start recollecting until later in life. And so the LJNs were no longer $4.99. Mm-hmm. And so for that reason, if you're like even loose mint LJNs, depending on who it is, can cost hundreds of dollars.
Sure.
So there's a few that I have of guys that I really like, but for the most part, I just keep them all in the package, the whole set.
So I've gotten out of collecting Bone Crunchers. I collected Toy Biz, WCW for a little bit. And I was going to try to collect all the AEW stuff, but it started to get too expansive and expensive. So I was like, you know what? I'll keep the first 10 AEW series in protectors in a box. And then eventually if I need to retire or want to retire or something, you know, 20, 30 years down the line, hopefully I've got something worth a damn and I can sell those. But I stopped collecting Bone Crunchers because I just came to the end of the road. But what I love are the ECW original San Francisco Toy Makers, which are made by a lot of the same people who made the LJNs. And while I like the Bone Crunchers because they were so cartoony and ugly, the ECW ones are beautiful. They're wonderful. And I remember seeing a Cardona and Myers video where they walked through the complete history of ECW figures. And I thought that the Taz figure was one of the most incredible figures I had ever seen in my entire life. It was a little bit shorter than the other ones. It was just an incredible figure. So I went to Toy HQ, Toy Vomit, here in Lexington, bought one, took it out of the package, and I've collected ECW ever since. But my rule is I have to get them in person or they can be gifted to me. I don't want to order them online. That's really like my personal rule. Yeah. I like to be able to find them. As opposed to ordering them. Yeah, or again, if somebody gifts one to me, I'm not going to say no. But I have started to collect them in the box and loose because I have realized that when the day comes that I want to sell these, there's going to be somebody that really appreciates that some of these are still in the box because they were not produced nearly at the scale of many other figures. So Tim, I'm with you there as well. I completely get it. Completely get it. But we have a gentleman by the name of Dave Cost who sent two back-to-back very generous super chats. And I want to thank Dave particularly as well as Tim because they have both supported us so much of late. So let's go ahead and talk about this AEW Dynasty finish. Mm-hmm. And we will lean into this and every super chat associated. Says, I attended Dynasty, never been at a show where people were leaving our floor sections during the main event. Do you believe TK and the boys are aware of how frustrated people are with the main event scene? And then he also says, it wasn't that Swerve lost or Mox's reign continued for me. It's the how and why of the story logic. There's so much explaining their action segments that need to be done after angles that make no sense in the moment. Jimmy, this has been a hot topic. I went deep into it on the AEW Dynasty post show, but AEW, I feel like at the top and probably involved with the story itself, probably think this is the right type of heat. That's what I think that they believe.
Right.
Do you think it is?
No,
I don't either.
And I don't either. The interesting thing is that Tony Khan prides himself on listening to the audience and the discourse on Moxley and the Death Riders for months has been the same. And it's reminiscent to a degree of the Bloodline story when Roman Reigns was winning every match and the crowd was getting tired of it because he was winning the same way all the time. And he just kept winning, winning, winning. The difference was Roman Reigns and the Bloodline story had compelling characters. They had Sami Zayn. They had these characters that made the story compelling. To me, there's not a lot compelling about the Death Riders. The first thing I wanted to ask your opinion on, I saw Tony did the media call before Dynasty. He was asked about the Death Rider story, and he indicated that it's been good for business. I would like to know what business metrics he's speaking of. I'd like to know how he can attribute that supposed business success to the Death Riders. And I want to know if that supposed business success coincides with the Max simulcasting, because then you could very easily just kind of put it on the Death Riders when in reality it was because you debuted on Max. What are your thoughts on his suggestion that the Death Riders has been good for business?
Obviously, I don't get the numbers directly in that sense. Like when the WBD and AEW story last week came out, I was like, listen, I can't verify those numbers. I just know that that gentleman worked very hard to verify those numbers.
And I'm not even talking max numbers. I'm just talking general business metrics, whatever he's referring to.
And I know there are a lot of people that say, well, their ticket sales are down. No, they have not been down, actually. Even going to these smaller venues, they have sold, one, a way higher percentage of tickets and seats available, and have outsold some of the larger venues that they were in. So there is that. I mean, what you could argue, Jimmy, if you are Tony Khan, is, well, we're getting paid a lot more for TV now than we were at the start of the Death Riders reign. That was already negotiated. That was already done. I don't know. I can tell you that I don't see a great online presence supporting the Death Riders reign. It is like 90% to 10%.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people think that the heat there is the right type of heat. And Dave says, the issue I feel strongest about is the heat in a traditional sense is not on the heel performer telling us the story. The heat is in the booker, and that doesn't do anything positive for anyone. Dave, I am so glad you said this, because this is what actually you mentioned. Or you asked, what do a lot of people in the company feel like? That's what they feel like. They feel like you're healing the company as opposed to the guy. Mm-hmm. And everybody there recognizes that Jon Moxley is a fantastic performer. I do as well. I think Jon Moxley is, when you talk about the most important people in the company's history, I think he's more important than Jericho, even though Jericho had a big name as the first champion. Moxley is their Hogan. Now, I don't mean that in a he says that doesn't work for me, brother thing, because I know Jon Moxley at least enough that he would respect Tony Khan's decision. If Tony Khan said, okay, well, you know what? We're going to pivot. Omega's going to win the title, or Swerve's going to win the title. Mm-hmm. They might have a back and forth, but Jon Moxley is a gentleman in that regard, and he understands his job is his job. And he's not going to sandbag anyone or boo-boo face anybody as a result of that, I don't think. I just believe that there is some sort of disconnect between the story and the audience. And here are my two feelings. I think, and I don't know, I think that AEW, whether it be Tony Khan or whoever's doing the story, believe that whoever beats Jon Moxley will be made. And it's like people will be so exhausted by Jon Moxley holding the title that they're made. And I know that some people involved view it as their own little bloodline storyline. The bloodline storyline got pretty bad and exhausting at some points. Mm-hmm. It's a great thing that allowed people to branch off and do great stuff, but it was also very tedious. And people were like, God damn, this finish again.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say this, Wheeler Yuta has gotten over as a result of this. Like, he's doing way better now. He had the wrong kind of heat a few months ago, and he's doing great now. And obviously they're setting up for him and Danielson. That's the best part of this to me. But what happens to Jon Moxley after this? When this ends, how are people going to feel about Jon Moxley, Jimmy?
I think that going into this, it seemed predictable to a lot of people Swerve was going to win. And I think you had reported that Swerve had family there, and that increased the idea. Oh, Swerve's winning the title.
Of course.
Sometimes predictability isn't a bad thing.
Yeah.
And in this situation, I feel about the Moxley reign the way I felt about the Roman Reigns reign, when he was, you know, beating guys, beating them more or less the same way all the time. A lot of people thought Sammy should have beat him in Montreal, right? I feel similar about Moxley. I understand what they're trying to do. Clearly, they're going to end up with Swerve and Hangman teaming against the Bucks. That's where it's going to go, I think. And I will encourage people to go on YouTube. And this is a match I've always loved. Look up a match on YouTube from 1986, WWF, at Madison Square Garden, Hulk Hogan and Roddy Piper against Paul Orndorff and Harley Race. And the reason I'm encouraging you to look up that match is Hogan and Piper were then what Swerve and Hangman are turning to now. They were two bitter enemies. Now, it was the 80s, so they weren't burning houses down, but they were two bitter enemies that had a common foe. So they teamed up. But the story they told in the match was so great. They didn't trust each other. They almost came to blows a few times. They would stare at each other before a tag. They would do a really hard tag and stare at each other. Really great storytelling. And I'm sure Swerve and Hangman will do something similar. I can understand that's where they're going. And Moxley's time is going to come, and maybe Swerve's the one that takes it, or maybe it's somebody else. But I just think it's gotten so tired. I think that Moxley does not have the right kind of heat. And I think when the time comes that he loses it, the crowd reaction, unless they're really into the babyface, I think the crowd reaction is going to be a about time reaction when mm-hmm. he loses. So I would love to know from Tony Khan, what business metrics can you attribute to the Death Riders story specifically? How can you prove that the Death Riders
sure.
is showing this business spike or at least this uptick? Because I don't see it. You saw the live crowd after the pinch on.
Right? It wasn't good. Yeah.
No.
It wasn't good.
No. So I don't know. I they always say let's see where it's going, but I thought it was the wrong finish, and that's all I got to say about it.
And this is a very hot topic, so we are going to continue this after our ad break. But I'll say this: I had a lot of people on FightfulSelect.com, best $5.99 a month in the business. When I gave my betting tips, they go, "Wait, you're reporting that Swerve has his family there, but Moxley's going to win?" I'm like, "Yeah." That's how confident I felt in it. By the way, 5 for 5 on our lock picks this weekend. We are 25 for 25, Jimmy. Here's BetOnline.
BetOnline.ag is the official betting partner of Fightful. 100% of the time when you get the odds from Fightful, they are coming from BetOnline.ag. And it's not just wrestling. It's not just MMA and boxing. It's football, it's basketball, baseball, hockey. They have the earliest lines. You can bet big with the high limits and rebet functionality. They have the fastest payouts with winnings paid in minutes and the industry's best bonuses on every qualifying deposit. They've been trusted for 25 plus years. It's not some fly-by-night company. BetOnline AG has been there. They've done that. In addition, they're trusted by millions. They've got VIP rewards programs and a ton of popular games. BetOnline.ag, that's where I go to make my bets. That's where I suggest you go to, my friends. Please just bet what you can and bet responsibly.
We're coming right back with WrestleMania. We got the betting odds for that. John Cena is favored to win. I that's how I'm feeling as well. Certainly not a lock pick. But last year at WrestleMania, Jimmy, some insight before we get back to the Death Riders thing. I had a lock pick, and it was for Rey Mysterio. And people were like, "Well, how do you know that Rey Mysterio is going to win?" And I was like, "Okay, well, guess what I reported last week? Jason Kelce was the Monster Factory preparing for WrestleMania. It's at Lincoln Financial Field, where he's played football for the last 10-plus years. Whose mask was he wearing after the Super Bowl when he was out partying? Rey Mysterio's. They are not going to have Jason Kelce involved with a loser at WrestleMania." So some of our people ended up making some money. We've got a lot of discussion regarding this Death Riders thing. It's what people want to talk about. 2LT Photo says Ospreay seeming the front runner to dethrone. I think the audience would like that a lot more than Darby, which seemed to be the idea. And after tonight, I should have some Darby details. I think that Josh Alexander could be the wild card. I thought that match was going to be on Dynasty as well, but it wasn't. But it's one of those things where I think that Ospreay is probably the best option, especially if Omega and Okada are going to combine their titles. I'll say this, the all-in card looks really good as I'm anticipating it, Jimmy. I think it'll be Mercedes or Athena against Tony. I think it'll be Swerve versus Hangman or Swerve and Hangman versus the Bucks or for the tag titles. I think we're going to get MJF in some sort of big match. Thankfully not Jeff Jarrett. We're probably going to get Ospreay and Moxley. We're going to get Danielson and Wheeler Yuta, maybe, if he's feeling okay, based on what I see. Does that give you any, like, any reason to believe that this is wrong? Is Khan booking too smart that it's a detriment?
I mean, All In is kind of like their WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So I would like to think that whoever he lines up for Moxley, I'm talking about Tony Khan, whoever he lines up for Moxley at WrestleMania, that's his guy. Whether it be Ospreay, whether it be Kenny Omega, potentially. Darby Allin, with all due respect to him, I just don't see him as world champion. I just don't. When I look at the world champion, I look at a guy who is going to be your face, who's going to be your ambassador, who's going to do like the media and stuff. And I don't see that with Darby the way that I do with an Omega or an Ospreay. So
it'd be forced right now, I think.
Yeah, maybe. So I think that either one of those guys would be a good pick. But Moxley, they got to just get the damn belt off Moxley. I mean, that's what else can I say about
it? Yeah. And again, a phenomenal performer, like great person to have in your locker room, all that stuff. But
yeah, it's not on him, man. I mean, in WWE, they put a bean mask on the guy and a fur coat. Sure. And that was no knock on him as a performer either. That was the creative given to him. So, it is what it is right now.
Ryan sends a humper chat and says the business metrics for Mox Death Riders is they're consistently top Nielsen quarter hour and top viewed YouTube video. There's a big disconnect from casual fans versus live crowds and the IWC on Mox. Dynasty is really the first time the live crowd wasn't into it. Well, I got to disagree with that. The crowd was not into it after Revolution either, as David Camp brings up. He says that the fourth consecutive pay-per-view where a lot of the post-show chat revolves around dissatisfaction with the main event or the closing angle. Listen, it has been that, because I feel like Revolution would have been a lot easier to get away with had they just done Tony and Mariah at the end of the show. Like if what happened prior to that was way earlier, I think the crowd would have probably accepted it a little bit more. When they did the four-way at World's End, I knew that he wasn't dropping that title. I knew he wasn't dropping the title to Orange Cassidy either.
Right.
But listen, if you want to go based on the views and the metric, Orange Cassidy does a lot of great numbers. He's got their most viewed social clips, like out of 10, probably like 7 or 8 of them.
Yeah, and I haven't looked at the quarter hours in quite a long time, because ever since Max, I feel like it just doesn't really bother me as much, or I don't care as much. But I don't know when Death Riders typically are every single week, but Q1 is always the highest rated because of the lead in. The top of the 9 p.m. hour is always the next highest because of the top of the 9 p.m. hour, and the last quarter hour is typically the lowest. So if the Death Riders are in the first, the 9 p.m. hour, that's why it'd be high. And if they're in the last quarter hour, they're probably the lowest. But I haven't followed the quarter, so I don't know.
Chi-Town Spurs says, it's so frustrating that much of AEW is great right now and the main event is terrible. Don't want to see Mox get beat by a top babyface. I just don't want to see him at all. This is the risk you run with that. And again, their viewership numbers have like slowly increased. And, you know, this is with the Max numbers, like not even factored into that as well. Now, I think they had a dip, I want to say, last week, but they'd kind of been coming up from the mid-500s up to the mid to high 600s, which is promising. You could point to that, but it's tough. Michael Luna says it's not the right type of heat. It's not entertaining. We are not entertained. I was entertained by the Cope and the Moxley, yeah. the spikes, even though it's not for me. Don't like it. I don't like it. But I was like, oh my God. I was very entertained by Swerve and Moxley. It's just, I'm ready for it to be done. I'm ready for it to be done. And Joker says, has AEW noticed that Max does no in-app promotion? WWE is very easy to find with new episodes on the Netflix homepage. Day of Dynamite, I have to search for the newest episode, and it's not easy. It's gotten progressively harder over the last few months. And that's something that has been brought up. Like even a person in AEW had to tell me how to find the next day stream of it, because people are like, why don't they put the Dynamite and Collision streams on Max? And I'm like, well, they do, but it's under live streams under the sports section, as opposed to very easily accessible. As bad as sometimes the search functionality on the WWE network was, boy, we were kind of spoiled with that for a while. Like
when Dynamite really is live, when Dynamite is live, like ongoing live, is it on the homepage?
Not the main Max page. It's on the Bleacher Report Sports element. Yeah.
I'd like to know why. Yes. I mean, because
I would too.
Because WBD is clearly invested. I mean, like we talked about last week, when they have a big sporting event on, even if it's out of their time slot, they'll put AEW on afterwards to maximize the lead in. Why wouldn't they emphasize it better on Max? I'd like to know.
I would too. Tim Traver says, AEW turning me off altogether. I watch a lot of WWE, but wrestling's fun no matter what. That's how I view it. Listen, that's how I prefer to view it as well, unless it's just all really, really, really bad. Says Buck's going to kill the ratings again. I don't know about that.
The Bucks are so polarizing. I've learned not to talk about them because some people in the chat will agree and some people will shit all over me. So I just don't talk about them.
Athena punks Mox, takes his gold and his faction. You know, good fantasy booking. When you look at AEW numbers closely, you understand why Mox is the play. He's moving numbers as champ. He's also probably the most famous guy they have within his prime on the show. Like, everybody knows who Jon Moxley is that's watched wrestling over the last decade. So I can't understand it from that sense.
Do you think more people know the name Jon Moxley than the name Chris Jericho?
No, but Chris Jericho isn't anywhere near his prime, despite the fact that I thought that match before the shitty finish on Dynasty was the best match he's had in years. That was an incredible match before the terrible finish. My issue is the story feels so un-Jon Moxley-like. Where did the old Jon Moxley go? Why does this Jon Moxley need to rely heavily on interference? I think the ultimate piece of this needs to be that Jon Moxley is actually a hypocrite. This whole time he's talked like the character, the heel. He said, oh, I'm worried about what AEW is becoming. He's doing this bloodline WWE bullshit all the time.
Yeah, and plus he's the heel. I mean, at the end of the day, he's the heel.
And he's got help from the Young Bucks, of which, by the way, what's the plan for Bucks Death Riders? As Meat Norman says, hurt my back playing basketball last night. Oh, my God, I miss playing basketball. I need to go.
Hope you're okay, buddy.
Yeah. Get well soon. You got to meet it up, my friend. Get some good brisket. Get some pulled pork, and I know you'll be fine. He says, not broken, but it's spinal. Well, in that case, just smoke some weed. That's what Mike Tyson does. What's the plan for Buck's death?
Even before his fight, Sean.
Yes. I don't know about that. But from what I understood, there was not a long-term plan when the Bucks left for this. Now, if you remember, the Bucks watched as the Death Riders destroyed people on commentary. And then they got scared and left and were shredding documents. I would love for them to sort of go behind on that and say, well, you know, we were taking over the company and then we saw how out of control it was getting with them. We had to eliminate all evidence of this secret partnership that we had with this dangerous Death Riders group. And then that would also point at the Death Riders and say, you aren't really what you say you are. You're hypocrites. You sold out to these guys that were trying to ruin the image of the company and yada, yada. But I think that healing the company is a bad idea.
Don't you think
this place sucks is never a good story?
Don't you think you'd be asking the Bucks, but if you tore up the documents to show your partnership, why did you then come back and help them win?
They could explain that with a 6-month absence. There could be a reason that has emerged since then. Like it's a fake show. They can do whatever they want. They can do whatever they want. You all are really showing out for the super chats and humper chats. And I just want to say thank you to you guys. But let me look through these humper chats real quick before we move on. New Lack City says, feel like TK thinks that's because their attendance and overall AEW momentum has gotten better, but he fails to listen to the real discourse. The last three pay-per-views were awesome. And most consensus was the pay-per-view was greater. The story was good until the Moxley stuff. That's how I feel. Had last month's main event been in the middle of the show or a couple matches before, I think you could have gotten away with this a little bit more. You are in a fan service industry, but you can't always give the audience what you want. You do, or what they want. You do have to develop some heat sometimes. And New Lack City says he's torn on it. Sick of the Death Riders, wishes they pivoted, but interested to see what the Bucks are up to. Could be a good story. That doesn't mean Swerve shouldn't have won. And Paige versus Swerve story would be better. So if they don't do Paige versus Swerve, I think they are doing Paige and Swerve versus the Bucks.
I think so. I mean, the fact backstage that Swerve said, when Heyman said, "I burned down your house" or something, and Swerve said, "I know." And that's they kind great. Of, so I think that planted the seed that they're going to be a team.
You know what I like about this? And listen, might get him some heat just because people hate me mentioning his name. After working with and watching his shows so long, I can tell when Will Washington has written something. Mm-hmm. It is so Will Washington pilled in the best way that it is like, what a great story that has been. But Jimmy, also, like, we're going to get Cope and Cage against FTR at All In as well. I'd imagine that's going to put some asses in the seats. I think that one will as well. Is this going to become Am I the Asshole? Death Riders and Bucks versus Swerve Ops? Sound kind of meh? If so, well, it is about to be Blood and Guts season and Anarchy in the Arena season. So yeah, I think so. I do think so.
I think when he said AITA, he didn't mean Am I the Asshole. I think he meant Anarchy in the Arena.
I read so much online stuff. I get sent these YouTube videos, which is the Am I the Asshole videos, all the time. That's too funny. That is too... we gotta not do that, because listen, around the internet, that's what it means. that's what it means. Oh, we got a bunch of super chats, bunch of humper chats. How many matches do you expect on Mania 41? 7 to 8 each night. Do you expect Vince at Mania? Hell what? No.
No they way.
Let him in the building.
Well, you can buy a ticket.
Is Trish coming back or is she done for now? I was told earlier this year that she's always kind of in the conversation. She's always like pitching for stuff. But I had been told that around the time of Rumble that that she was going to do more. And that was Elimination Chamber. That's what it was. BL says, just want to thank you and Fightful for the shows and podcasts. Did Jimmy increase the monthly rates to fund his LJN collection? I support it. I know why you increased the monthly rates, if you feel comfortable with me saying it publicly, Jimmy.
Yeah, it's because you make a shit ton of money, Sean.
I mean, legitimately, I'll tell you guys. some people have asked, Sean, have you ever thought about doing your own thing? No, Jimmy has been like the most incredible business partner over the years, and in situations where I would not have been able, quite frankly, to come up in life, Jimmy has reassured me that I made the right decision and all that. And a few years ago, didn't look like I was going to be able to get a house on my income. And Jimmy's like, here is an X amount non-interest loan. And
wow, you're actually talking about this. We've never talked about this on the air before.
Never talked about this. And I mean, my wife's a school teacher, so it would have been on her income. I was investing a lot into helping Fightful as well, like with equipment and all that. Wasn't making as much then. And Jimmy made sure that I got in that house. And let me tell you, your boy paid off that interest-free loan a few weeks before. So I'm finally making a little bit more than I was then. But Jimmy, I'll say this. Jimmy has always shown me that I have made the right decision by sticking around at Fightful. There was a gentleman that I worked for before, and I mentioned this. I was on food stamps before that. He said, no, I can't give you a raise to X amount, which if you all knew what that amount was, it would blow your mind because it was so little. Then that same guy came back to me a year later and offered me 3 times the amount that I asked for to come back. And I was insulted by it because I was like, you had that then. I could have been this for you then. And I said, no. I've had the opportunity to work for, I think ESPN hit me up at one point. Certain wrestling companies, not AEW, which a lot of people will try to make jokes about. Other places overseas and some other people that wanted to start websites have hit me up. And Jimmy has always reaffirmed the decision that I made to come here was the right one. And listen, rates go up because inflation went up and we hate it. Like, we tried our best to fight it for years. Didn't raise it once before 8 years in, and I didn't want to do it. Jimmy didn't really want to do it either. But we're like, you know what? Let's do $5.99, $6. It was $6, but then Patreon screwed us pretty hard So it's $5.99 now, but yeah, that's the story associated with that. And
to answer his question, I already owned the LGNs before the increase. So
yes, it's not, listen, Jimmy Van does not need a Fightful Select increase to get his LJNs. Jimmy Van was independently and separately successful before Fightful. And that's one of the reasons why Fightful is successful, because we operated at a monumental loss for the first few years. And I mean, especially since I got a piece of ownership and I saw exactly how monumental the losses were. And Jimmy said, do what you do. I believe in this vision. I believe that we can do things better than other people. And Jimmy saw that there was a void in wrestling media. And that's what I always tell people. If you want to make your mark in wrestling media, find where there's a void. Like, find where there is a clear void and do it. Even if that void is asking wrestlers what their Waffle House order is, which I completely support.
He got some heat for that, didn't he?
You know, just people who... Listen, media is not linear anymore. The people that are complaining about this now in media are just like the people who 5-6 years ago were like, TikTok's not going to matter. Who cares? I thought it was a fad. It's not a fad. Then 10-15 years before that, we're saying newspapers won't go away. Digital's where it's at. Keep writing for these magazines. That's what you need. And then 20 years before that, we're like, you don't need to write for magazines. Just write for your local paper, etc. Like, media is always evolving, adapting, and it's better to, even if you don't like what they do, it's better to try to understand it, because not everybody in that media room is there for the same thing. Not everybody's there to get scoops like me. Not everybody is there to ask about the latest controversy or very serious thing, which, you know, should be asked about at times. And also, these are largely kayfabe. So, like,
and you got to remember, I mean, AEW's partnered with guys that go into Costco and dance and talk about cookies. So yes, like, it doesn't always have to be serious.
I think there is absolutely a place and a necessity for that. But also, you're asking a lot of people who, and this isn't an insult, are painfully unqualified to be asking or writing stories about those things, to be covering those things. That's what's always interesting to me when I hear people say, oh, the wrestling media sucks. There's nobody credible. Then they say, why doesn't anyone cover or ask about da 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 da? I'm like, okay, now hold on. You're saying that these people aren't qualified, they're not good, they're not credible, they're not reliable, and then saying, why don't they cover this incredibly sensitive and very serious material? And it's like, you can want them to be better, but like, there's a lot more to it than just, you should do it exactly how I do it. There are outlets that do, like, if you want to hear somebody ask about their Waffle House order, fortunately, Muscle Man Malcolm is there and he's doing it. If you want to hear somebody talk about the financials of wrestling, WrestleNomics does it better than anybody. If you want to get scoops directly related to wrestling, Fightful Select is there. Like, there's room for media and everybody, and media is always evolving. And I feel like that is very important. Also evolving is our great deals over at NordVPN.
I have long talked with you guys about the content that you can access with NordVPN.com/Fightful, but it doesn't just stop at pro wrestling. You can get MMA and boxing pay-per-views at a much more affordable price when you change your virtual location with just one click using NordVPN.com/Fightful. It doesn't stop there either. Football games. Man, if you want to check out those out-of-market football games, you don't have to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars. You can get NordVPN.com/Fightful and just change your virtual location. How about baseball games? They make it harder than ever to actually watch baseball games. It is a task, not with NordVPN.com/Fightful. They got everything you need, in addition to all the threat protection and security that comes with NordVPN. But if you want that content, NordVPN.com/Fightful is right for you.
Check it out, guys. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Listen, if you, we got a nice contest going on my Twitter with Bet Online. But if you just have a Netflix subscription and you're like, man, I don't know if I want to get Peacock for WrestleMania. If you've got NordVPN.com/Fightful, you can watch WrestleMania on your Netflix account. Netflix is remarkably chill. They don't care. They want your subscription no matter where you are. So NordVPN.com YouTube.com/FightfulJimmy. The people are showing up for these super chats. And
do you know? Do you know if the WrestleMania 9 documentary is going to be on Netflix for outside the U.S. people?
I don't know. I should find that out. I will ask. I did get a screener of that, by the way. I need to watch it. But why does WWE get so many passes with the atrocious booking, Charlotte Tiffany, lack of minorities, yet AEW makes one move and it's at the end of the company to some? Listen, that's the nature of tribalism in wrestling, which I completely loathe, the tribalism. Yesterday I said, hey guys, WWE booked Bayley and Ivy Nile in IC title matches after they lost top contendership matches and never won anything after that. And I had people say, yeah, I wish you would criticize AEW like that. Why didn't you say anything about Kevin Knight? Wait, you mean Kevin Knight, the guy who I said on Dynasty, my post show? Damn, kind of weird that he lost to the guy that was supposed to be in the tournament and got put in the tournament. But even then, Jimmy, he would have to win the tournament to get his title shot. And guy that trains with Natalya actively. Like, okay, there's a little bit more of a reason there. But still, I don't like it. One of my biggest pet peeves is that. Now, as far as atrocious booking, I'm starting to see some Vince-isms, some title shots without earning it, kayfabe, some rematches, seeing a lot of that. The Charlotte Tiffany thing is a train wreck. There were a lot of people giggling about that, that this happened in TNA or AEW, they'd be like, damn, messy backstage, etc. The lack of minorities thing, I'm hardly qualified to speak on that, but WWE scripts the show. They can script minorities to be in more appropriate positions. I'm just so exhausted. Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions, and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. Hims provides you with convenient and quality access to a range of hair loss treatments that work all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable oral spray and serum treatments to find out what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/fightful. That's hims.com/fightful for your personalized hair loss treatment options. Hims.com/Fightful. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Location, the lab. Quentin only has 24 hours to sell his car. Is that even possible? He goes to Carvana.com.
What is this? A movie trailer?
He ignores the doubters, enters his license plate. Wow, that's a great offer. The car is sold, but will Carvana pick it up in time for...
They'll literally pick it up tomorrow morning. Done with the dramatics?
Car selling in record time.
Save your time. Go to Carvana.com and sell your car today. Pickup fees may apply.
The bi-tribalism in general, Jimmy. I don't like it.
It's never going to go away, and it's not just akin to wrestling. It happens in sports, too, and hell, even with movies and music, it happens. So it's just never going to go away. I want to talk about the Charlotte Tiffany thing, too.
Yeah, let's.
Do you want to do that now, or is there still Super Chats
buddy, we got a ton of them. Might as well just talk about it.
Okay, so I watched that segment on SmackDown. I actually watched it twice. And watching Tiffany powder out the way she did after saying that line told me that she thought Charlotte might throw hands after I say this.
Maybe.
So she got out of there pretty quick. But I had two main thoughts about that segment. The first one was I was surprised that Charlotte let the live crowd throw her off the way that they did, because
yeah,
Charlotte's a pro. And when it comes to promo, she's one of the best ever for the women's division. She was completely thrown off by that live crowd, to the point that after not saying anything for what felt like a couple of minutes, she looked at Tiffany and she said, I'll give you the last word. She was completely thrown off by the crowd, which surprised me. And then the other thing was about Tiffany. I know that you've got thoughts on this and you reported stuff about on Fightful Select, but I felt watching it that Tiffany thought, okay, when we did the split screen promo, I tried to stick to the script. You improvised and you ate my lunch. So you're not doing
it. I walked all over.
Right. And that's how it felt to me. But I really hope, and I don't know if you've heard anything about this, I hope Hunter is getting this in line with these two, because it feels like Sean Brett a little bit. And so I'm hoping that Hunter is kind of getting him in line. But what have you heard about why it happened and the aftermath?
A lot. I've heard a lot. We've had a lot on Fightful Select. And KE775 says, do you think the disaster on Friday has any bearing on the Mania result, or do you think that's been determined? It's been determined. They already knew who was going to win this. I don't know if Charlotte or Tiffany know, because they don't officially tell people till like the day of. So what I heard actually lines up a lot with what I heard that Brian Alvarez heard as well. Tiffany went in there, had to sort of protect herself. People close to her say that Charlotte went off script first with the, I'm not the Nepo baby, I'm a Nepo queen, which none of the writers or anybody backstage took any issue with that. They're like, okay, fine, fair. The thing that people backstage took issue with starting off was Charlotte imitating Tiffany's voice. And I think it was reflected online. A lot of people are like, what is she doing here? Mm. Like, it was like one of those immature elements. And it's like, that's something you do when you're like in middle school type of thing. And that was the reaction I got from backstage. And then when Tiffany started to get really personal, there were a lot of people that were like, oh shit. And there were some people, admittedly, that were like, she had to do it. But there were a lot of people that like, okay, that crossed the line. Like that right. one was one where, you don't
especially when she went on that talk show, got really emotional, said she felt like a failure. She felt like people are going to compare her to her dad. It was obviously a very soft spot for her. So that was rough. I understood Tiffany's frustration.
Should never bring that type of stuff up unless you got clearance from the person, period. And not only that, clearance from Andrade too. Should probably be out of respect to other coworkers, in my opinion. Yes.
Right.
So what Charlotte said after that, I'm like, I don't like it, but it was certainly provoked in that sense. And it was one of those things where it got escalated. What a mess. And then the people that I heard said there were their heat on both of them. But that Charlotte should lead by example there. Because she's
Been any reprimand at all? Like, do you know if
not that I've heard?
Okay, because Hunter's got to get that in order. And Charlotte does have this, because there have been other incidents with Charlotte. There have been a couple of times where, you know, her mm-hmm. and whoever she was working, things went off the rails for a minute. Mm-hmm. Remember her and Becky? She's done things like this in the past. And I don't
Nia,
know if it's because
Nia Cracker were the one too in the ring. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's because
she's got a reputation, for going a little bit audible in the ring. I think there was a Kairi Sane power bomb that also once upon a time was as well. But I mean, also she does have the trust in the ring to be able to do that. And on the mic, it's just in this particular situation, I would imagine they'll try to keep them a little bit to script. And also they will probably try to lean into it a little bit, because it's controversy and buzz.
Right. Yeah. And again, it reminds me a little bit of Bret and Shawn. And for people that don't know the whole backstory with Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, there was, I guess, an infamous discussion between them where I think Shawn said to Bret, like, hit me with everything, hit me with anything. And so I think Bret went out and made reference to Shawn being gay, and then Shawn had a problem with it.
Yeah.
So this is you know, where you can end up. Like, it's got to be controlled. You don't need these two to start throwing in the ring. But Charlotte's a pro, and Tiffany's just coming up. I think they'll be okay come Mania time.
We still have a ton of super chats and humper chats. You all really showed up today. Again, I'm here all next week. I'm not going to Vegas. Joel Pearl will be sending in content, videos, a lot of stuff like that. If you are a wrestler in Vegas, let us know. Our dude Joel is going to be at Circa Las Vegas. If you guys haven't checked out what's on the slate there, check it out. They've got shows with Chris Van Vliet, Busted Open Radio. They've got cabanas you can rent and watch WrestleMania in if you don't want to deal with the traffic and all that. And a ton of WWE wrestlers hang out at Circa Las Vegas. When I went there in January and toured the facility, I had a certain prominent wrestler reach out and say, man, I was there last week. I just went there and had some food. So always cool to see Circa Las Vegas. I will certainly be staying there the next time I am in Vegas. We have Miss Straight Fire, or Mr. Straight Fire, say Bianca is one of the faces of WWE. She's on all the marketing. She's one of my favorites, but I feel like she isn't as over as she should be when looking at the TV's crowd pops. Is she a top merch seller? How do you feel about her popularity? I think she is one of those talent that a lot of times fans take for granted. I haven't seen her on any top merch seller lists of late. That I don't know what her numbers would be. But Jimmy, I'll say this. I think her promo work over the last 3 weeks has been phenomenal. Like the emotion coming out there. Like when Rhea came out and said, "Oh, I just thought I'd come in here and watch the contract signing." And she goes, "Well, I guess you'll just be watching at WrestleMania too." I loved it. I thought on Monday she was so great and so natural. And listen, she's got to reach down within that. She is one of the nicest human beings on the face of the earth. I've watched her work like the morning of a big main event match, work hours at a food pantry or a Boys and Girls Club or, you know, anything like that, doing these community events. She is wonderful. But I think that once that heel turn finally happens, boy, it's going to explode again.
Did you see last week when she was the guest referee? And during the break on Netflix, she was at ringside and Wade Barrett was kind of joking around about doing a three count. Maybe Pat McAfee, whoever it was joking around about a three count, like how to count as a referee. And Bianca goes, 1, 2. And then she stops and goes like this.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself,
she's good.
You know, what's interesting about that is when the Street Profits turned heel, although I guess they're babyface again now, I guess. But when they turned heel and everybody was like, what about Bianca turning heel and joining them? And Bianca, it seemed like, wasn't into it because she, you know, I'm a role model for children. And
I talked to her about it. She said that it has to be something substantial and that she feels like when it does happen, it'll mean more because she will have built up more equity as a babyface.
Well, she's getting
very,
there now.
Very smart.
Yeah. She's getting there now because I know that there was discourse online about when they were on the European tour, why is Bianca getting booed? Because in storyline, Rhea Ripley should be the heel in the story.
Yeah.
In storyline, Bianca earned the title shot at WrestleMania. Rhea backdoored her way in. She should be the heel. But the problem is Rhea is probably the biggest women's star in the business. So Bianca's going to kind of get that heat. But this week on Raw, she came out in all black. She had black lipstick on. And when she started cutting the promo on Rhea and the crowd was giving her the business, she just raised her voice and kept going. And I thought to myself, she's feeling it now. Like you can see that it's happening now. And so I think Bianca is going to go in that direction. And I'm interested to see where it goes with her.
Dave Koss sent a couple more. Very generous. Thank you, Dave. P.S. had a great time at the show, AEW Dynasty, and remained positive about the product, except getting home at 1:49 a.m. where I live 15 minutes from the arena. That is one of the biggest disconnects, I believe, that AEW has.
This has been forever.
Tony Khan has always treated me like a human being, but I think there are some elements of the general experience that Tony Khan doesn't get that the rest of the world does get. For example, I won't say like going to work Monday morning. This guy flies overnight to go do NFL stuff, but public transit closing before his fans get out of a show. The 6-hour experience. We don't need that anymore. I don't need that anymore. 8-9 matches, I'm fine. I'm good. I'll keep saying it. Dave Koss says he blames Triple H for this one. They have never booked Tiffany like a babyface. They never even had her beat Nia clean. She just gets cheered. There's no development. She doesn't high-five the fans, barely plays them other than Tiffy time. It's completely true. Last year, we had Anna Bauer talk to her, and Anna was like, "Are you kind of surprised by this reaction?" And Tiffany's like, "Yeah, very surprised by this reaction." I've brought it up as well. And she's like, "Yeah," she's like, it's nice because everybody wants to be loved. She goes, but part of me is like, damn, am I doing something wrong? Because it's not the reaction I should be getting, despite how good that it feels. She's very wise about that. But WWE's got to book her appropriately. And Jimmy, to Dave's point, I felt like this should have been the story the whole time. I had said once they had Charlotte win the Rumble, Charlotte should have done a promo like the side-by-side where she walked all over Tiffany, and then Bayley should have came backstage to Tiffany and been like, hey, chill, you earned my respect. do not let this woman walk all over you like I've watched her walk all over people for 10 years. And then this week's promo could have been a scripted thing.
At least to a degree. I mean, she's done it. So to me, part of it is on Tiffany. And here's my question for you.
Of course it is.
How much creative freedom is there? Because you know,
not
what
that much.
But Chelsea Green always says it, right? Maximize every minute of television that you get. So how come Tiffany's not playing more of the baby face? How come Tiffany's, I think Dave said, you know, she doesn't high five the fan. She doesn't. Well, why doesn't she? Is it because she needs the office to tell her to do it? So I look at it like this is partly on her. You can talk about the story all you want, but it's on Tiffany to embrace being a babyface if that's what you're going to be. And she doesn't, unless she wants to continue to be almost like a Ric Flair, where Ric Flair, whether he was heel or babyface, he was always kind of the same guy. Maybe she wants to be like that.
Tiffany addressed it on the Babyfaces podcast, saying, I think being so new to the business, being so new as champion, I don't think she expected me to stand up to her, and I don't think she expected me to almost clap back. And I think it's live TV, stakes are high, we're going into Mania, have the title, want to keep the title, I'm going to pull out every stop I can, and people want to see our match. I think we did a very good job getting people wanting to see our match and invested in our story.
She's right.
Now I'm ready to go out and put the best women's match on ever. I'm ready to go to war. I have no doubts that match is going to be incredible. Like, but certainly people are more interested.
100%. I mean, this Mania card, we can talk about the Mania card. I think most of the cards have been pretty lackluster in terms of the build.
Let's get to the appropriate. We got a ton of super chats. We really do. But we certainly will. sorry, I had to cough into the mic there, guys. Couldn't reach the mute button in time. Pat Faruga says, time is truly cyclical. The 90s are back. WWE F with the better main event scene, but AEW, WCW having a better undercard. That's a really good comparison. So I like the main event personally, but I was also stoned to shit. Oh, God. And he says, shout out to Speedball for killing it. We had an interview with Speedball from Grapsity, but I think that's a very good comparison. But Peyton isn't liking the Mania build. By the way, Jimmy, let me know when you have to depart.
Yep, got about 10 minutes or so.
Cool. It says, WWE have horribly fumbled this Mania build, and AEW refuses to listen to their core audience. Thank God for New Japan and CMLL. Without them, I'd be done with wrestling. Hirooki Goto for Wrestler of the Year. Listen, I am a Hirooki Goto guy. When I first started to cover New Japan, I want to say 10, 11 years ago for Wrestling Inc., he was one of my dudes. I loved all of his finishes, the diverse finishes. Seeing him kill it at this stage of his career is amazing. CMLL, one of my friends who I've known since elementary school went to a CMLL show. She was just in Mexico City with a couple of her girlfriends. And I see like on her stories, chilling in CMLL. Heard that it was a great live experience there. Hey, Sean, in your opinion, do you think the late April Mania date was the issue for the build of the last 3 weeks or the build? The last 3 weeks have been much better. Yes, I do think this was part of the issue, Jimmy. Having 7-8 weeks between Elimination Chamber and Mania, I think did hurt. Naturally, 2 months to build Rumble winner versus Mania. That's tough. That's tough in general. But yes, I think this extension did hurt a little bit.
I don't disagree. I mean, maybe they could have had a special in between or something. You know, I mean, back in the old days, they only did pay-per-views quarterly. And so they had to build things for like three, four months.
Yeah.
And sometimes even longer. But at the same time, I look at it like I said last week, you've only got Cena for 36 dates. And I felt they wasted the first two after Elimination Chamber. When you've only got them for 36 and you basically throw two of them away, you can't really look at that and say, oh, it's because they had too much time between build. It's because you just fumbled it. I mean, that's all there was to
it.
Like Cody and Cena, how excited are you for Cody and Cena right now? Cause I'm really not that excited.
I am, but I mean, I think they've done, I don't think they've done a great job with a lot. John Cena should have been on the show more. The Rock should have been on the show at all.
Yes. And they could have done pre-tapes. Remember before when you would talk about how, hey, Cena's there. Why not do pre-tapes?
I do it backstage.
Understand it.
Do it backstage.
I can't understand it, man. It makes no sense.
Put him on your show. Sauron says, since Select is mostly based on U.S. subscribers, what is the one or more country you were surprised to see where people subscribe to Select? The best $5.99. It used to, first off, a lot of our Mexico subscribers, I used to be surprised to see how many of that, because listen, English is not the first language. We do now have Fightful Select Español. If you guys want to check that out, we might end up rolling that into our Espanol Twitter. Don't know yet, but people from Hungary, we've had some Hungarian subscribers. Anywhere where English isn't the first language is somewhere that I'm a little surprised by. Since WWE Library is available on Netflix in India next week, what is your opinion on the best pay-per-view? Ooh, excluding Mania. Have excluding a long weekend Mania. Coming. Yeah, have a long weekend coming. Would love both of your recommendations. Ooh, I always love a good Rumble. I would always love a good Rumble, like the among the best of them. But
92
is a good one. There were a couple of good ones fairly recently.
I'm King an old school Ring. Guy too. So for me, the older stuff, like the older Survivor Series, it was interesting to me back in the day when they would do five teams against five teams. You'd have 20 guys out there. And they don't do that anymore. So some of the older Survivor Series, older SummerSlams for me.
King of the Ring 01 was great. SummerSlam 2000 was really great. Money in the Bank 2011 in a really bad era. SummerSlam 02. Backlash 2000. Honestly, a lot of the pay-per-views in 2000 just I thought were really, really great.
What was the one where the fans would do the voting and Sean was on one leg?
Cyber Sunday. I missed that so much.
Is worth Cyber a Sunday watch. Was so good. That is worth a watch. So if you guys haven't seen it, Shawn Michaels got the vote.
That was the Taboo Tuesday version.
Taboo Tuesday?
Yep.
Shawn Michaels got the vote. He was on one leg with an injury, and the guy went out there on one leg. What a performance. That's a good one to check out.
Feel like they're not even ending it at all in. This is going to go back to Darby at WrestleDream, and I can't stay a viewer if that's the case. I think if this continues past All In, you're going to lose a ton of fans. But what I see is Ospreay winning the title at All In, then doing a lot of media with that title over his shoulder ahead of Forbidden Door. I've asked this in the Discord. It's mind-boggling to me that Anna Jay was removed from programming after arguably her best match of her career with Mercedes. What's going on there? I hate that not be able to give you that much on your super chat, but there's not always like that easy answer of like, oh, well, they just pulled her off TV. Listen, a lot of people thought that about Wardlow and he ended up being hurt. Now, Anna Jay hasn't wrestled at all in AEW this year, but so is like Jack Perry's been off as well, who I believe she lives with. Maybe they're just taking a little bit of time off. Chi-Town Spurs, I will dig into this for sure. They wanted the double belt Vacker for footage. Yeah, the booking around that is so weird. I didn't like it. Just having her win two titles and vacate one. Yeah. And Julia didn't even miss that much time. Like, it's puzzling booking. It's very puzzling booking. And I think it was less than a month ago when that title got dropped. The refereeing in AEW remains a glaring issue. Do you find yourself thinking it's on the ref to enforce the rules constantly, or the performers for hanging them out to dry? It is on the refs. It is on the producers and coaches and the talent, Jimmy. One of the best lessons I was ever taught in wrestling school, if you were in the first match of the night and you buried the ref, you were not getting brought back for the next show. And the reason for that is that first match is to establish to the audience, these are the rules, and this is what pro wrestling is, and these people are going to follow the rules, and this ref is in control, especially an indie show like that. So I feel like that is very important. I have long felt like referees should have personalities and tendencies. Jericho should never want somebody like Aubrey Edwards reffing his match because she's going to catch everything. The Young Bucks want Rick Knox reffing their matches because he don't see shit. That's what I feel like.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we've talked about this before. It used to be that the referees did have personalities. And again, I'm dating myself, but like in the 80s, you had Joey Morella, who people knew was supposed to be like the really strict referee. You had Dave Hebner. You had guys that had this reputation, Earl Hebner being another one. And now, not so much. And Rick Knox is a perfect example. When I see Rick Knox, I think to myself, he is a parody of pro wrestling. because he misses nothing, and he should be the Danny Davis to the Young Bucks Heart Foundation. Yeah. That's what Rick Knox should be. But does WWE still have the motto that if the shoulders are down for three and they're not supposed to kick out, or they're not supposed to get pinned, but they don't raise a shoulder, you count three?
I'll ask, but I don't think so, because we have seen that not happen recently. Anyone underwhelmed with the Punk Seth Roman build? Just thought they were going to just felt they gave the main event to Punk just because it did feel like that. Should have put the belt on the line. I don't know about that, but the build has been a little underwhelming, and it's because two of the three guys aren't there all the time. Again, now we're not in the Brock era of part-time, and it's like, put the title on this part-timer and all that, but like, sure would be more useful if these guys were all on the show and could build to the biggest show that you have, Jimmy.
Yeah,
I think it has affected it, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, all they do is go up there and, you know, Punk would be like, oh, Roman's not here this week, but he'll be here on Friday. And Rollins, oh, they're not here today, but they'll be here next week. It's been lackluster. And I do feel like that they're giving them a main event to get Punk a main event. I do like the Paul Heyman aspect of it.
I do too.
Even though Rollins has nothing to do with it, I still like the Paul Heyman aspect of it. I saw some people saying, and I know there's a hate for Brock Lesnar now, but imagine if it was Punk, Roman, Brock. That would make more sense with Paul Heyman.
He's telling people he's retired, Jimmy.
Is he?
It's the word on Instagram.
Well, you know what? He's made his money and he's living in Saskatchewan, Canada, and the dollar's like $1.40. $1.40. He's doing okay. He's doing okay.
Listen,
Brock got paid in U.S. dollars.
I got treated nice at that USD. D'Lo Diggs says, all this toy collection talk got me diving for wrestling and Dragon Ball Z figures like I used to. Also, I wish all things considered Keith Lee was the one who cost Swerve instead of the Bucks. Yeah, unfortunately, I don't know if he is in the position to do that right now. I haven't heard an update on him. In addition to ECW figures, D'Lo, I do collect things that I had when I was younger. Like, I'll pull one out
right now. Got one right in the closet, Jimmy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. In the closet.
Let's see here.
I have some old stuff, too, but it's all packed away right now.
Like, just things I wanted when I was younger.
Oh, Turbo Man. I've seen that before. Yeah.
Yeah, I put it every in front of my tree every Christmas. But I love that. I mean, the world a few years ago had some disposable income, not as much now, but that collecting got big again. Hurt Syndicate theme is great. Do you agree, Jimmy?
I think it was Kyler that posted on Twitter that he still had that chant in his head the day after Dynasty. I think it was good. Kyler. So whatever gets the people into it, man, because this has long been one of the disconnects with WWE. Like, I can't tell you how much I despise Bailey's entrance music. I freaking hate Bailey.
She doesn't like it either.
Awful. Yeah. And this has been a problem.
Is it the one that starts? Oh,
yes.
Like, there's like four themes that start that way.
Yes, four. It's just really
so
bad.
Boring.
Yeah.
Thoughts on KO?
I like your version better, Sean. They should edit that in.
It's pretty much what it is. Thoughts on KO's stance on his injury being leaked. He said he wasn't happy about it. Listen, in my experience, KO has been one of the more understanding, reasonable people. He's a great, great moral compass in that regard, a genuinely good human. I don't think he's like livid or mad or anything. He knows it happens. Listen, I reached out to him. I reached out to a bunch of people, didn't hear back till afterwards. I completely understand that. I likened it to the Jamie Hayter thing, where a lot of people thought that I was going to be mad that Jamie Hayter put out the visa news after we put it out on a paywall. That's different than some random donk doing it. I don't care. It's their news to share. He felt like he should share it.
Yeah.
We get to determine as an independent media website what we deem okay. I would have deemed the Kevin Owens is injured news as okay to run. It wasn't about a pregnancy, an illness. It was an injury that happened in wrestling and directly affected wrestling. Like that's it. But KO is free to feel how he feels. And, he has made it known how he feels. I think that's okay as well.
I feel for the guy because it's a serious injury. He's in his 40s. He's in his 40s. He's probably going to miss at least a year, I imagine. It sucks for him. And I like that the crowd was respectful, even though he's the heel. And here's my question for you, Sean. There's no way Randy Orton misses WrestleMania. There's no way. What do they do with Randy Orton at WrestleMania?
I would have Rusev squash him.
You would. Squash Randy. Yeah. Really? Because I was thinking the open challenge is the way to go. People like an open challenge. They did it with Rollins and Cody, right?
Yeah.
So people like an open challenge. Do it with Randy Orton. And everybody's going to be thinking it's going to be Rusev or Malakai Black. Everybody's going to think it, right? You'd have Rusev go out there and squash Randy.
And start a feud. Yeah, yeah. And then they have the competitive match at Backlash. Yeah, that's what they
do. Interesting.
Any update on Vince McMahon's production wrestling company? I've heard nothing resembling him getting involved in wrestling again.
Not going to happen.
And anybody who did business with him would probably be ostracized from that point. I mean, it's not like they wouldn't get work or anything, but Vince McMahon, I would find it highly doubtful that he gets back into wrestling at this stage. No TV companies are going to do business with him. Like, none. And he's going to be 80 this year.
Yeah.
I've heard of no update outside of him contacting some people for a media company, some former WWE employees. We have several about the Mox situation. The Mox Cope feud would have been better received without the title. Completely agree, Jay Polanco. His numbers are moving despite Mox or people wanting to see a new champion finally. I agree with this. In the same way, Jay Polanco, that people say, well, during Sean's reign, those viewership numbers were so bad. I'm like, imagine how bad it would have been without Shawn Michaels as champion.
Yes.
Would have been horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
Would have been really bad. Says the only one that can truly be entertaining call out of Mox's hypocrisy is Eddie Kingston. That would have been the move, but his injury. A lot of people asking about that. He tore his knee and leg all to shit late last May. It's hard for me to believe that he'll be back anytime before the 1 year mark. But
I shouldn't laugh, but your description is just it just makes me chuckle. He tore his leg. Oh, shit.
There's a lot of people that were like, oh, Eddie Kingston's going to be back, right? And I'm like, well, listen, I hope so. But 43 years old, tearing your knee up the way that he did is rough, man. And I know he's working hard. I know he is.
And sorry, I got a jet.
No, it's okay.
Everybody enjoy your week, and I'll see you next week. See you, Sean.
I am still here answering your super chats, answering your Humper chats, guys. But if you like this Q&A format, great news for you. FightfulSelect.com is the place to be. $5.99 a month, or you can subscribe at the $10 tier, which gives you early access to our interviews like Dave Finley, like Izzy, like the LJN video that we're doing as well. But let me fix this. It's party time, guys. But I do a Q&A there every week. We have 5 to 7 select answers articles a week as well. The Select Q&A has become the most aggregated wrestling podcast in the world. So go there, get it directly. And I am in that Discord every single day answering your questions. And that's where I'm headed right after this, actually. FightfulSelect.com. Sauron says, thank you for the recommendations and thank you for being the best. Lots of love to all hail Fightful. Thank you. That is such a nice thing for you to say. Shotgun Sean, which, by the way, I did see your comment and you asked why your questions don't get answered on the Q&A. Here's my method on that. If I don't have an answer for you on the Q&A, I am not going to waste your time or anybody's time saying, I don't know. You can just assume that I'll ask. I'll always try to ask. Got a great Rolodex of contacts and I exhaust those resources. He says, Mox is dragging down the product with the rain. Personally would have preferred Swerve versus Ospreay or Page or Darby at All In rather than Mox. I think a lot of people could have leaned into the Swerve versus Hangman thing. Ospreay being that conquering babyface over Moxley, I could absolutely see that. And I like Darby in the ring. He's great to do media with as well. Like he's a very friendly guy. And I think one day he will be there, but right now it feels forced. I think Darby absolutely at some point will be a person that you look at and you go world champion. And I don't know, maybe there will be some giant rally of popularity following his Everest run or climb. I don't think he's going to run it, but I'm with you there. Pain management. Mike Tyson style is working. Your thoughts on Ovechkin breaking the goal record? Does Charlotte break the title record after Cena? I don't think Charlotte does break the title record. But maybe. It seems like they can't book her outside of the title picture, right? Thoughts on Ovechkin. So I'm not a big hockey guy. I am a Maple Leafs fan. But listen, early in his career, how early? It was like 2007-ish. Yeah, I would say 2007-ish. A friend of mine locally had me watching some Washington Capitals games with quite a bit of regularity. And I liked Alex Ovechkin then. Couldn't have ever imagined that he was going to break the great Wayne Gretzky's record. But good for him. Records are meant to be broken. Absolutely meant to be broken. Joseph Morris says, in my opinion, a Rhea feud is a career death warrant for any woman facing her as they feel inferior to her. I think except for Bianca. I don't think Bianca does. And that, so listen, some of that is a popularity issue And some of it is a physical issue. Like, look at her compared to everybody else. And that's not taking anything away from anybody else. It's just, listen, that woman's worked very hard and looks like a megastar. Not to say anybody else doesn't, but with Bianca, you have somebody who has matched her as far as booking, can match her physically and accolades as well. Get in those super chats, get in those humper chats. I will hang around as long as you guys are here. The difference between DR and Bloodline is the characters in the group have no personality. AEW needs to give them some characters so the fans care. I agree. We haven't necessarily seen that character depth out of Claudio that we have out of Jimmy and Jey Uso. We haven't seen that out of Wheeler. Okay, we have seen it a little bit out of Wheeler Yuta. We've seen it out of Jon Moxley to some degree, but based on what we see on screen in his matches, it's very hypocritical because he relies on a lot of very schemey things to win. And with Marina, I think that what she does or what she's done is fine. I think that's fine, but I think you got to see more and pull more out of Claudio in that sense. Because like we know and like Claudio and respect him, but we got to see that depth. Need Cena or Rock both together via satellite. Dave, I'm completely with you and thank you again so much. Personally, I want to thank you, Dave, for being so supportive over the last few weeks and especially today. Again, we are completely direct-to-consumer funded outside of a couple of sponsors and a little bit of clicks. But I think if you got him there, if you got The Rock there, if you got John Cena there, say, listen, we need you for 30 minutes, film a few backstage stuff. Like, if you don't advertise them there, then it's okay. Save it for the last segment on the show. And it just cuts backstage, and there you go. And then the crowd's not going to expect them to come out. Or you can even say to the crowd, we will hear from John Cena and The Rock tonight, although they're not here. Thoughts on Booker T and Swerve beef? Listen, I am, again, not qualified to speak on that. I am just not the guy. Grapsity is going to be on Friday. They can speak about that. And I am nowhere near qualified in that regard. I respect both for their pro wrestling accolades and all that, but that's a them issue and it's one I won't be in. Shotgun Sean says, will Charlotte and Tiffany remain professional at WrestleMania? Can WWE do anything about on the night or just pray they won't go into business for themselves? They can just reassure and say, listen, guys, got to stay on task here. Also, ask Grapsity tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern on Fightful Select. Also, they had a Dynasty review on Monday. But yeah, you just got to hope that they won't go into business for themselves. But listen, them slugging it out a little bit is okay. They can, bam, hit you with a couple of those. It's all right. They're adults. They're tough as hell. Both of these women are tough as hell. Charlotte can take it. She's taken a two-piece combo from Nia Jax before. She can handle it. Did you see what RVD said about AEW's biggest problem? As it's ignorant wrestling community. I'm not a fan of him saying that. Now listen, yeah, I completely disagree with that. I think that is blanket statement typecasting, but also I didn't see the individual quote. So I don't want to, like, you know, attribute something to him that that man didn't say. But I think that typecasting any wrestling audience specifically is not the right move to go with. I just don't. And I like Rob Van Dam a lot. Man, that guy has given me some great interviews in the past. Ask Graps these at 5 p.m. Well, Rob, then you're fired. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. We do still have Super Chats and Humper Chats. And again, a reminder, Q&A show. Every single week, Fightful Select. I got to cook up a Fightful Select report for today as well. I'm going to have two. I'll have some notes, and then I'll have just a regular report. Agree, Bandido's finisher looks bad and kills kayfabe. The 21-plex, not like, kind of, I guess. Like, you can argue that him doing it gets more momentum. I remember a spot of Bandido's I didn't like. Somebody had to hold the top rope while sitting on the middle ropes. They're sitting there like this, right? This is how they are. And Bandido puts them there. And he runs from one side of the ring to the other, goes to the outside, climbs, and does a springboard 450. And I was like, well, what was the point of that? And I've never seen him do it then, so I think it was an audible. Since Universal title is active, is that number 17 and 18? No. The Universal title is collective with that title. It still technically exists, but it is one championship. BL says, singles, tag, Rumble, which do you prefer to be in? For me personally, I love Rumble matches. I'm a geek for them, man. I don't think I've done a tag team match since I started to wrestle again. I've done a few singles. Gosh, I haven't done a tag. I had thought about doing one with my good friend Ali Albright and then maybe Shaza or Vinny Pacifico or somebody like that. I would love to tag with somebody that I like if I'm going to do matches again. And one, those are my conditions. One, it's got to be something I give a damn about. Two, something's got to raise some money for charity because I don't accept money for that. But yeah. And I want to be able to do it at least in an appropriate way and work with people that I know and like. But you ask me to be in a Rumble, I'll do it. If it's near me, somebody in Cynthiana, Kentucky says, come be in my Rumble, I'll be in it. I love working Rumbles. I worked one last year, gosh, a year ago for the Humane Society. And I showed up and they go, how long do you want to be in it? I said, I'll go as long as you all want me to be in it. And they said, great. You and Alexis Littlefoot are going to both go coast to coast. And I said, shit, okay. And I worked 35 minutes in that match. Dante says, I said months ago that not having the belt on TV was a bad thing and people disagreed. It's gone on too long. How long since we've seen the belt? It's been a while, right? Well, I mean, did Cope get it out? I can't remember, but did Cope get it out? If not then, it's been months and months and months. Guys, also, if you all haven't, easy plug for you guys to check out some stuff. Fightful Scraps, youtube.com/FightfulScraps. We're adding a lot of shorts over there, a lot of clips. TikTok, Instagram, and what's the other one? Facebook. We're growing on all those platforms. We've got exclusive stuff on those platforms as well. Maybe one of them can be, how long has it been since we've seen the damn belt? Too long, in my opinion. I think you need to have your top prize on the show. I don't like the idea of not having it on the show. Got a couple more Super Chats and Humper Chats. KE775 says, do you think Raw and SmackDown after Mania will both be newsworthy shows with returns, debuts, or big angles? I think it better be because otherwise you're going, I think this year, if you don't have a big one, it will have finally conditioned the audience to be like, well, it's not what it used to be, right? Like, it's not that same show that everybody used to be like, oh my God, you got to tune into. And the Raw and SmackDown after Mania gained that level of hype because they actually delivered on surprises for so often. But much like Mania or the Rumble or Money in the Bank, in an era of which we suffered through really terrible booking, those were points of optimism where you could go, maybe that could end up getting changed. Like, maybe this is the pivot point. Maybe this is the area where things will finally be better. And now it's okay. It's not terrible anymore. But I think they got to condition their audience to believe that it's going to be a big show. Dave Cost, my dude, Dave Cost. Thank you so much. Dave, my guy, you send so much. Hit me up personally. If you got anything to promote or push, let me know, because you have sent that much in super chats. Tribalism last night from the NXT bummed me out. Crowd bummed me out. If you want to support Book, cheer for Book. The chant does nothing for anyone. AEW fans will return in kind tonight, and round we go. Yeah, it ain't for me. I like the good-natured stuff. The Sean Spears, Ricky Saints mention. Some of that stuff. I just hate it when companies and fans fight a battle that the talent aren't fighting. But in this situation, we are in an unfortunate scenario of which Swerve and Booker are both, you know, stoking and fueling those flames. And that's a rarity in these instances. And it's unfortunate because, again, Booker T, one of my favorites growing up. Swerve, just a wonderful guy to work with, to watch as a performer. And I just hate that that's happening. I hope they get together and have a real conversation. I know there was a brief conversation, or at least Booker T says so, but I hope one day there is a good conversation that is had and they break down a lot of those issues, because I think that especially for wrestling audiences, and especially for people like me who are not qualified to speak on the matter, it is important to hear them discuss those things. Is the plan for FTR versus Copeland Christian at All In? I've heard no different when I've asked, and it was heavily implied to me. There you go. Shotgun Sean says, Charlotte sounds difficult to work with. Would WWE ever decide to part ways with her if it ever got too much, or is she too big of a name? Well, it depends on what you mean by too much. If it got too much with anybody, yes, they would. I haven't heard of Charlotte ever approaching an element where she was in danger of being too much in that regard, Shotgun Sean. But she is a big name. You would have to consider, well, AEW would probably almost certainly bring her in. And she would definitely get offers and things like that. Would they care about that? I don't know. But I've not heard anything that indicates that Charlotte has ever gone so beyond that it is like a risk of termination or anything like that. She does her media. She shows up to work. Outside of the unscripted promo elements, has good matches, gets reactions for better or for worse. Man, I just want to say thank you to you all. Again, it is not, you know, the hottest period in like wrestling content revenue. There are a lot of aggregators out there. There's a lot of people out there who take and don't give back, so to speak. I'll say that. And you guys really showed out for us today. 90 minutes of super chats and humper chats. And again, if you all liked that, FightfulSelect.com is for you. Try it one time, $5.99 a month, or you can get a great deal for 10% off the annual subscription. But before you get done here, leave a thumbs up on this video. Tomorrow, again, if you're into the Q&A format, Fightful Select, ask Grapsity tomorrow. Two brilliant wrestling people, Phil and Reg, they got you covered. Thank you all so much. I really appreciate you guys. We're out.